Welcome to the KP Podcast, where we talk about the business of real estate. A podcast about leveraging opportunities, growing your business, and experiencing financial freedom. Here are your hosts, Keith Anderson and Peter Kamboukos.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the KP Podcast. We're coming to you from the Forum. I am Pete. I am here with Keith today. And today we're going to switch things up here at the end of the year, and we're going to do a little something different that I think is going to be pretty cool.
Today we are going to do the wild card show. So, for instance, we have been getting many questions and many just general thoughts in this marketplace right now. It's the end of the year. Here comes the rumors. The conspiracy theories are out there. Everything's going on. And so we thought it would be fun to do a show, our wild card show of buy it or sell it. Okay. So we're going to go over a bunch of topics and questions that we hear that are kind of roaming around the industry right now. And then
and
we threw
some wild cards.
Yeah. And some wild card ones in there too. And we're just going to, we're going to play buy or sell. Okay. So when we're buying it, that means we agree with the statement. We believe it's truth and we will defend it. If we sell it, we're going to tell you why we believe it is not correct and it is not accurate and it is not going to come to fruition. So we're going to play buy or sell it. A lot of these are probably on your mind right now.
Yep.
Especially one of them I can think of. And I would really encourage you guys, play along at home, go through that process. Like, we're going to tackle these, but full disclosure, we could be completely wrong on all of these, if not some of these. However, we're going to be giving you good factual basis behind why we believe the way we do, and take that with whatever grain of salt you want to take.
You think we could be wrong on all of these?
100%. There's a, hey,
we could be 100%.
You're telling
right?
me there's a chance. You know what? 60% of the time, I'm right every time.
There you
okay,
go.
That's just what we got to remember. So
I like it.
We got little flyers here for those of you guys watching online. Buy, sell. We'll hold them up with what we think is our answer as we go through the questions. We're going to go back and forth. Pete, why don't you kick us off with the first buy or sell it statement?
Okay. Are you going to ask me the first one or am I asking you here?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're the first one.
Okay. So NAR predicts 1% home appreciation in 2023.
Are you buying or selling 1% home appreciation in 2023?
So I am going to...
1%. 1%. Does that mean 1% or more, or does that mean just
exactly
1%?
That's, I think at last I looked, that's NAR's actual prediction is 1%. I'm selling.
So you're going with the field answer, if you will. It's definitely not going to just be one.
Well, not only am I saying it's not going to be one, I'm saying it's going down. I'm saying
down.
2023 is going to be a decrease in real estate appreciation. We're going to see a decline. We're not going to see appreciation in 2023. I am selling it.
I'm going to join you here on the sell blockade because I agree with you. I don't see us even netting any type of value. I think what they're expecting is things rebound and we balance out at a near zero, 1% type. Oh, we started out low. Maybe we lost 5% in the first half of the year and gained 6% in the back half, and now we're at 1% net gain.
Well, and I think just to give everybody a little color on it out there is, so where does this come from, right? Because it's not like we're just, oh, well, that's what I think. So we're looking at actual data, and one of the things that you can look for or look at, and I think this is important for all the agents and people looking out there, is we're looking at list prices that are coming now, right? And so what we're seeing... Follow me with this. What we're seeing is list prices finally decreasing, meaning the new listings coming on are coming on at a lower decreased price. So if you follow the logic there, that means that they're going to be selling at some point in the first quarter potentially, and those prices are going to be compared to first quarter last year, which was pretty phenomenal, if you remember the first quarter of this year. And so when you put them up against each other, we already have lower list prices coming in versus prices that were elevated in the first quarter. Those are going to be negative. That's not a question. Like we are, you can look at the numbers and do the math. So that's going to be down. So in order for us to be up for the year, that means we would have to have a rebound in the second half of the year that would then put us up above what we had in the back half of 2022 and make up for that decrease in the front half. And I just don't see that happening. And so we're going to start off in the negative. You'd have to have a pretty good comeback to get into the positive, and I just don't think that's going to happen. So we're going to end up negative.
And we're talking about a lot of pressure on those prices down the stretch. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think this is a positive footnote that they're trying to put out there to people to
I think so too.
Stop people from freaking out as much. Yeah. But we're going to see some negativity. We can't get a year of 30%+ appreciation, increase rates, and not expect it to go down at all. Like, let's be honest.
Like 60% like, increase over 2 years, yeah, 58% like, or whatever
it is. We don't really go down. We just kind of stop going up. Like, that's not the way that works,
we
guys.
Double every 3 years. Yeah.
So, awesome. All right.
So, let me ask you. So, I'm going to ask you the second one. You tell me whether you're buying or selling, right?
Okay.
Tom Brady comes back for another season.
Ooh. Tom Brady?
Dude, he's like 61 years old.
Tom Brady. Now. Okay. Let's do a deep dive on Tom. Okay. You know what? I'm buying this right here. And you know why? I'm going to buy this right now because he now no longer has wife or kids. So what is the man going to do with his life? So poor guy. I feel for you, Tom, if you're listening to our podcast, which I hope you are. We'd love to have you on. But Tom, you just blew up your family, and you're going to have to fill up that time with something. And you got to pay for alimony now, too. So, you know, you might need to. Although you do have an announcer job waiting for you, I just don't think you like these interviews. I just heard your interview last night. You weren't really pumped about it. How are you going to do that for 10 years and for Fox? So I'm going to say bye. You're going to come back because I don't think you're going to win the Super Bowl this year. And I think your competitive itch is going to be too strong.
Mm-hmm. I'll do it quickly. I'm also a buy on this.
I didn't know if you
for
were.
For a different reason, because I agree with you with, you know what?
Not for his family life.
Well, I think that's part of it, right? So he's got no family now, so he needs to come back and go out on top. I think he's going to go out on top. But he also lost a bunch of money in that FTX crypto scam. I heard they lost a couple hundred million. So, you know, that hurts. So Tom's like, yeah, I'm coming back one more season.
Yeah, you know, unless he wins the Super Bowl. That's my only caveat this year.
Man,
if he wins the Super Bowl
this
year.
Point.
No, I mean, he might be the division winner. So if he wins
he probably will, but that's a long shot.
Hey, that's my only get out of jail card. If he wins the Super Bowl, he's retiring. I don't even have a question.
Next one.
All right, Pete. We've already seen the top of mortgage rates at 7.5%. As in, do you buy that we will not be going higher than what we've already seen? Yeah. Mortgage rates will not go past
7.5%. So I've got a question on this one now that we're reading through it. In what time frame are we talking about here?
I'm going to go with in 2023.
Okay.
It will not be higher than what we currently see. It will only be lower.
God, I hate predicting rates. It's such – you never know. You don't know what the Fed's
going to
do.
You
want
to flip a coin? You got two options. You got a 50% chance. You're right.
So we're saying that mortgage rates have topped up.
They will not go further. That we already saw the highest rates.
I'm hesitantly going to say buy.
Hesitantly going to say buy?
Hesitantly. I think 7.5 is probably, if we're talking about 2023. Now, I won't say that in the coming years, you know, that we may not get above that. But I do expect the Fed to stop raising at some point in the first quarter or first half and watch those rates stabilize next year. So I think if we're talking about through the end of next year, I think we have seen the top at 7.5. We may push back up there. I think, you know, we're going to keep seeing them go up and down. You know, I know we're under 7 now. They might come back up over 7 again. But I think they're going to stabilize and kind of ride it out there in 2023.
I'm selling this.
You're selling.
This might be our first one that we disagree on. Okay. I think people are being too nice to what's going on out there. I think they have too much of the blessing cloud, happy mentality of what's actually happening. I'm starting to come onto the cynical side of this this fence. Shit's going to start having to hit the fan soon.
We're going double digits or what?
I don't think it will be in 2023.
Okay.
But I think in the next 3 year span, we may see double digit rates. And I think it's because we're going to fight this battle uphill. We're going to drop back in fear and worry, and it's going to ramp to the sky again. And then there's no way to stop it unless we do a massive shift. And I think that's what's going to happen.
I actually agree with you on all of that. I just don't think it'll happen next year. So I think we'll see that stabilize. Next year will be that ramp up. And so that's why I said, give me the time frame.
I don't know. Because I think we'll see over 7.5 before the end of the year.
It could.
This is going to drag on. It's not going to be pretty.
Yeah. I think the one thing we can both agree on, mortgage rates are staying higher for longer.
I think if the Fed fund rate gets to 5%, which I personally think is going to hit 5.
Quite possibly.
And if it hits 5, I don't think that variance between mortgage rates can be 2.5. I think it's going to be higher than that. I really do. I think it's going to put so much pressure. I know it's historically less than
that. It's only been about 2.
Right? I agree. But I think that worry and fear in the bond market is going to put a little shift. I think we're going to hit 8%. Yeah. That's where my number is. But I do think double digits in our near future.
All right. We'll see you on this one.
All right, Pete.
Yes, sir.
We got another wild card one for you. This has a little bit of hometown love against you here, too.
Hometown love against me? All right.
Chicago-style pizza is better than your hometown New York-style pizza.
Oh, come on. This is an easy one, and I'll give you the reason why. Everyone knows the real answer.
Chicago pizza is better than New York-style pizza. Buy or sell,
Pete. That's a hard sell, okay? Hard sell. That's not even okay. – I don't even need to think about this one, okay? And here's the big reason why, guys. Chicago-style pizza isn't pizza, okay? It is what it is. It's this deep dish. You got this big old thick bread thing. You put a bunch of stuff on there to get it in a pan. You got to eat it with a fork and knife. It's not even pizza. It's something else. They just want to argue with the fact that it's, this is pizza and this one's better because it's all huge. There's no way. I want to hear. Give me your reason.
You got this statement.
New York style, thin, crispy,
hold on,
crust.
Did you just say you're about to fold it?
Huh? Yeah. Hell yes, I'm going to fold it.
My argument states right there that you have to fold it because it's not thick enough. You don't have to fold Chicago because it's already thick enough. You are going to say fold
you don't
it?
Have to fold that it, but you do argument? Because that's how you hold
your
it.
Your initial instinct is, I need to fold this. It's not thick enough. In Chicago, you just eat, baby.
You know why
you just
fold
dig
it?
Deep.
You're missing it out. You think you're folding it so you can eat it twice. You're folding it because you're holding it with your hand like pizza's meant to
you're
be.
You're folding it because
you're not holding
you
it
need
to
it thicker. That's what it is. It needs to be a better more bread.
I don't eat my pizza with a fork and knife.
It's called a pie for a reason. It needs to be thick. Have you ever had a thin crust pie? It doesn't make sense.
Yes,
you don't
I have.
Do that. What like a piece of tortilla with peanut butter on it? That's kind of what you're describing.
It's not called a pie because it's compared to an apple pie. It's called a pie because it's a big circle.
Yes, but pies are thick, and so should pizza.
Again, it's not compared to like an apple pie. You're missing, I think.
Deep dish is not where pizza's at, baby. It puts you into that pizza coma.
I'm sorry.
We're going to move on.
Moving on.
That was a true statement. Okay.
Yeah, that was false. All right. Keith, I got one for you. Ready?
All right.
Single family rents will go down in 2023. Now, notice what we said, single family rents, because you got multifamily, which is a whole different ballgame, and single family homes. Rents will go down in 2023. You buying or selling?
I'm selling this hard.
Okay.
Right. Hard for a specific reason, guys. Sell, FYI, right here, sell. People are stuck where they're at. If investors are coming into the marketplace and continuing to buy right now, right? Unless they're buying with cash, which most aren't. Most are going to be leveraging themselves, I would say, unless you're a big conglomerate buyer. And even then, they're leveraging in some way or another. Those mortgage rates being higher are pushing higher on that monthly payment no matter what you do, mm-hmm. which means that break-even number is higher on average for most investors coming into the market right now. But there is no supply still nonetheless. Yep. So the way that rents go down is if there's an oversupply of rental units available. And right now, no one has anywhere to live. They're moving in with their family. They're moving in with whatever they can do. So I don't see any reason why the pressure of rents would go down, at least this year, because there's not enough supply even for those. And the investors that have their house, they're maintaining their rates. They're trying to recoup their initial monthly investment. They're raising those prices on most, in fact. So I'm looking at it like there's no way that those rents come down until we have an oversupply or some sort of pressure change in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very interesting.
Are you buying?
I'm going buy.
No, there's no way.
I'm going
not
buy.
Not this year.
Okay.
Okay, tell me why. I want to hear why.
Let me give you some reasoning. Now, it's not going to be a big decrease, okay? Here's why. We've got affordability.
$10?
We've got affordability issues, okay? And I agree with you. We have ultra low vacancies. And no not supply. not a lot of supply. Single family homes are in demand. So everything I'm saying works in your favor.
Yeah, I'm
right?
thinking 3 plus 3, 6. You know, like you're saying.
But the wild card.
Okay.
Wild card show. The wild card, and this is what I was pointing out at the beginning. We said single family rents. Is remember, you are right. It, people are going to have trouble buying. But what we are seeing is an oversupply in that multifamily side. And so I think that we're going to get some of that demand absorbed by that multifamily. People are going to be looking for more affordable options. There's going to be, or there is, a lot of multifamily coming. More multi, that, see, we've got two opposites here. We've got no supply and extremely low vacancy in single family. They have low vacancy right now in multifamily, but they've got a lot of supply coming on.
So are you saying that because multifamily is going to take some of the population that it would put pressure on the single family rents?
Yep. I'm thinking it's going to put a little pressure on there. You also got some folks that are going to leave that short-term rental world, and that's, that could add some more supply back there as they turn some of those into longer-term rentals. So I think you put in a little factors there. Now, here's what I'm saying. They're not going to come down a lot, but I do think we're going to see them – I think, you know, as we're starting to see those rents level out and maybe come down a little bit in 2023. So I'm buying it.
I'm definitely not. I am selling that. And a counter to your argument right there, Pete, is there are too many families in Arizona to deal with a multifamily one bedroom, two bedroom house.
Yeah, so they can
they need single family three beds or more.
Okay,
and there's
but remember,
too much pressure there.
We got the millennials who are the largest generation in that age range, in the mid to late 20s, a lot of a big portion of them, and they're getting married later.
Correct, but they're still not. They don't have enough kids. They can go to a single family, or that they don't need a single family.
Right.
The pressure that I'm talking about is the people with kids that have to have single family, or they're not going to shift into a multifamily.
Correct, but and, if you remove some of the other ones,
but they're not
you
buying
leave
single
more
family.
Stuff
they're all
them.
Getting condos. They're living in the city. Oh, I disagree.
Those city kids.
Oh man.
All right. Who asked that one? Did I ask you?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Pete, here we go. This is an interesting one. Okay. This is a little bit more far-fetched, but to a lot of people that would think. However, I think that there is some legitimacy behind this statement. Okay. And I have heard a little bit of this because we don't see it coming. No one saw it coming the first time. So we will have a depression in our economy in 3 years, within 3 years, worse than the Great Depression of the 30s.
Worse than the Depression of the 30s, huh?
It's felt differently in the 30s because there wasn't as many resources to get yourself out of it, correct? But economically standing, the numbers of the economy standing, I'm saying will be worse than the 30s. Like the
so you're saying job losses.
Job loss, the change in the stock market. I'm talking about within the next 3 years. I'll give you a bump of an extra
I'm
year.
I'm selling.
Okay.
I'm selling, and I'll tell you why. We have changed since the 1930s, and one of the things that we have got now is we have got both a government and a Federal Reserve who will intervene. Okay, so remember this, guys.
Yeah.
While we still live in the greatest country in the world, we live in a much less capitalist society than we used to. Okay, we are more towards the socialist side now than probably we have ever been in this country.
Yes.
And at the first signs of these things changing, both the Fed and the government, they're coming in and they're coming in guns blazing. And you've heard them say this before. They've learned the lessons of the past. So the government's going to come in with fiscal stimulus. They're going to start sending more money out, you know, doing what they can to prop things up, going back to potentially things like mortgage forbearances and stuff like that. Fed's going to cut those rates even if we're still dealing with inflation. They've said, we're not going to let that happen again. We're coming in. I don't necessarily agree that that's what should be done, but I think based on the political environment and what we've come to with the Fed and the government, they're coming in. They're coming in hard.
So what you're saying is the federal government is pretty much helicopter parents.
Pretty much.
Is what you're
saying.
I'm going
to say they're going to come in and just – in their mind, fix the system. Now, of course, they'll make it worse, but you know it's going to be like what we've already seen. In the short term, they're going to come in and try to stimulate the crap out of everything.
Yeah.
They're going to throw money at stuff. They're going to tell everybody you don't got to pay bills. I mean, I think you're going to see it 10 times. If we're heading towards stuff like that, you're going to see it 10 times harder than what you saw during the COVID.
I'm selling it too. I don't think it's going to be as bad. However, I think we're going to have the closest thing to that Great Depression in the next 3 years. I think it's going to skip over 08. I think it's going to skip over some of these other people, these other things. Not necessarily the residential real estate side of it. However, I think our stock market's going to feel it. I think some of these other factors are going to feel it worse than we've seen over the last, 70 years or whatever it is. However, it won't be as bad as what we saw there because we will be saved. I just think we're going to get to a further spot before the saving happens. Does that make sense?
Yeah, quite possible.
I think we're going to get a little further down that
road. Oh, you mean
than
where we are right now?
No. Like what we were in 08 with job loss and some of the other things. I think we're going to hit kind of a pinnacle. I just don't think we can keep ramping up at this rate to not take a massive fallback at some point. That's why I said the next three. Maybe it's the next 5 years. Maybe it's the next seven. I don't know.
It could be. I do think, you've got to take into account, too, the actual workforce participation numbers that we've got now are lower than they've been in a long time.
And that's what I'm saying. I think that will put so much pressure on people not finding the ability to get jobs. The jobs aren't paying enough.
No, what I'm saying is you've got fewer people looking for work.
That's, yeah.
You know what I mean? You've got fewer workers. Like, if you look at it, even by the government's old numbers, we've got 2 million fewer people in the workforce now than we did pre-COVID. That's a lot of people that are gone.
We need to make some babies, guys. We need to make some babies. Yep. Stop having one kid. Start having
for
two.
Real.
Okay. It's the opposite of the years in past. All right. So, next one.
Let me ask you one here. Okay. 40-year mortgage will be the new standard by 2025.
Oh, man. Oh, you know what? I'm buying this. I'm buying it right now. Okay. Now, I don't think that this will stay long term, but I think at that point in time, it will be the more common purchase by 2025 is that 40-year mortgage, because I think affordability will still have pressure. My only wild card get out of jail of this statement, in my opinion, is if we do see those prices drop, affordability come back, rates get shifted back down, and we get back to an affordable stance. But I think at this current rate, we will have to be inventive to find something that will help people still buy houses. And I think if the Fed stays strong with rates being real and they stay over the fives, sixes, and sevens, if they stay in that range and prices monetarily stay about the same, I think we see 40-year rates here in the near future.
Well, I think we're seeing them as an option now.
Yeah, right? I think they're going to be the standard. It's like car loans going from 5-year loans to all of a sudden to seven.
See, I'm old enough to remember when a car loan was 3 years.
You see,
then it went to five,
and now the standard
now went to
seven.
I don't even know.
It's seven
or eight
now.
Or something. Yeah.
Six and seven. So my thought is like, what's mortgage hasn't had that big adjustment in a long, long time.
Are we going to get auto loans that are like 15 years, like 10-year auto loans and stuff?
Hey, I wouldn't surprise me, not one bit.
I'm selling this.
Okay,
I'm selling. And for one reason, which is it is an option now on the fringes, and I think that it will increase, meaning the amount of purchases will increase that are 40-year options. I just don't think it's going to become the standard, at least not.
We've got 3 years.
At least not in the next 3 years. I think you're still going to have, the vast majority of people that are getting that 30-year, but I do think we will continue to see it gain more market share. And so, yes, it's available now and it's out there now. But I just don't think it will become the predominant or the standard in the next couple of years. I still think that 30-year is going to maintain that dominance for at least through 2025 if we're going on that time frame.
I'm going to call up my friends Freddie and Fanny,
yeah,
and I'm going to tell them you said that.
Tell them old Fred.
Fred's going to move it up, okay? Yeah. He's going to bump it because no one could buy a house. So instead of having that pressure. So
I want to ask you another one here.
Okay.
I want to ask you another one.
All
right. Because I'm looking at this one. I think this is a juicy question right here.
Juicy. All right, at the end. Okay.
Ready for this?
Hold on. Get prepared.
Get ready for this one. So this is, and you want to talk about something we've been hearing about a lot of questions on and people talking about lately. Okay, here it is. Opendoor isn't going bankrupt.
Opendoor isn't going bankrupt.
Buying or selling this?
Oh, man. They have a lot of money behind them, but they haven't been making any for a long time.
Ever?
That'd be like getting an allowance and never doing your chores. That's what we're talking about.
Still haven't turned that profit.
Opendoor is the kid. Here's a hot take. Opendoor is the kid that continues to get his allowance but never cleans his room. That's what Opendoor is right here. Okay? So I think it's about time the parents cut off the child, ground him, and we're selling it.
Oh.
Backwards right here. Opendoor is going down, guys. I hate to tell you. They're going down. There's too many signs. They're going down. You can't not make money for this long a time and keep asking for funds to never turn a profit and to not make those shareholders happy. Like, you can't. Like, it's going down. clean your room, Open Door. Let's get you out of this business. Peace.
Clean your room.
Clean your room.
Clean your room, Open Door.
Not cleaning your room. Your parents have your dang allowance on auto withdrawal right now, and you're grounded. Okay? You're done. Sorry. You're moving out. Emancipation at 15.
So I agree with a lot of what you said there. I do. But I buying this.
Oh, my goodness.
Here's why I'm buying.
Go buy the stock then. It's at like 2 cents on the dollar right now.
I might. Here's why I'm buying it, and it's for a very – I kind of got you on a technicality here.
Okay.
I'm going to get you on the technicality.
They're going to get bought out.
They're going to get bought out.
That's not count. That's bankrupt.
They're going to get bought out. That's what I'm going with.
You can't. So someone's going to adopt them? The kid somebody's got emancipated and somebody's going to adopt them.
The kid, because they're going to like the fact that they already got the platform set up. They don't have to come in and reinvent the wheel, and somebody's going to buy them for pennies on the dollar and go, you know what? We can use that platform and try to do it a little bit better. I think they're going to get bought out before they go bankrupt.
Okay. Twist question. Who's buying them?
Yeah, this is some
on the spot.
Out there.
Give me one of your. Who's your top guess? Like, if you had to just throw out a curveball, who's buying them?
I think we're gonna see institutional buyer from the hedge fund side. Somebody
the
Blackstone.
Money side, Blackstone. Yeah.
Yeah, somebody like that. I mean, Blackstone is a prime candidate. Not Elon.
What about Amazon?
That's been rumored before. But I don't know now. You know, they've got the new CEO over there, and they got enough issues of their own, man. They're laying people off now and stuff.
No brokerage is buying them.
I don't think so.
They don't have the capital to move that?
Yeah.
Like Reology or, you know, somebody like Keller Williams maybe jumping up in the fence.
I don't
and
think
saying,
so. I think you're going to see somebody. I think it makes sense with somebody like a Blackstone, because they're already in that acquisition business. You know, they've got the funding.
And they just leverage the marketing.
Yeah, and they just leverage that marketing because they're buying those long-term. They can keep a lot of that inventory, too, if they want. You know, I think you're going to see somebody from that world buy them out.
Okay. All right. I'm with you. No Zillow buying it.
I don't think so. Zillow already got out of the iBuyer business. Remember, they tried it before. I don't think they're going to get back in, you know, and buy somebody. I doubt it. That would surprise me if Zillow bought them. I would be a little surprised.
All right, Pete. Here's the last question
we
got, okay?
Let's do it.
And this is another juicy one.
Okay.
This is affecting our industry directly in an immediate fashion and may cause the biggest change for every real estate agent here in our industry.
Okay.
The MLS will no longer exist within the next 5 years. Will no longer exist. Armless is gone for here in Arizona. The MLS nationally will be overran within the next 5 years.
MLS goes away, huh?
MLS goes away. Kind of like Blockbuster for Netflix. That's my thought process. The MLS is the Blockbuster.
is the MLS Blockbuster?
MLS is Blockbuster. It's the
old
way of doing stuff.
Netflix is knocking on their door.
Yeah, you can't go to the store and pick a bunch of cases that don't even have the covers on the movies. Like, it doesn't work, okay? Blockbuster, peace. You know, so I'm thinking MLS. Next 5 years doesn't exist. What are we doing?
I'm buying this.
You're buying this.
I'm buying this. I think the MLS, as it exists today, will not exist in 5 years. I think it is a system that has been around for a long time, and to be honest with you, is too fragmented and just hasn't evolved. And I think, you know, clients and consumers today and agents are looking for more of those unified platforms that have national reaches. And I think you're going to see a lot of changes come in that world. And I think, you know, that the MLS systems across the country, I mean, just think about how many we have across the state.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so you've got to contend with that. And so I think they're primed to be disrupted. I think they're prime, and people are there's companies out there working on things that I think are going to come into that space. And no, I don't think that the MLS as we know it will exist in 5 years.
I'm going to buy this as well, guys. This might be your big ticket item for an item to watch, guys. MLS will not be here. And I got two big reasons. One, I live in Phoenix. I'm a real estate agent. I pay for the service, and I cannot see what houses are available for sale in Flagstaff, Arizona. I cannot see the houses that are available in Tucson, Arizona, unless I subscribe to those markets as well. I'm a licensed a residential real estate agent. I can sell real estate in anywhere in the state legally. Mm-hmm. But I can't see the houses for sale to be able to sell, and I'm paying for the subscription of the company. Not very many companies allow for that in state. Like, I can kind of understand out of state, but we're talking in state. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. There should be a unified system. The second piece of this is I think there's a nuclear war coming to the real estate industry, and we're heading down that direction because of the transaction scarcity that we're about to see. And I think that all these big brokerages are about to go to war. And I don't know when that's going to happen, not just brokerages, but also marketing companies. I think it's time for Zillow to go to war. I think it's time for like companies like Open Door, Keller Williams, eXp. We're going to see these people go to war. And what they're going to do, my prediction is they're going to do a land grab pullback. And they're going to stop issuing their listings to go to one public site. And they're going to keep them in-house, all of them. They're going to fragment out. And it's going to create massive consolidation within the next 5 years, and the MLS will have nothing to do because their whole entire business operates on brokers just sending their deals to them.
Yep. You know, who knows exactly what it's going to look like?
That's my big, crazy prediction.
But I agree. There's going to be a lot of changes in the next 5 years, and a lot of these companies and brokerages and marketing companies and things we're mentioning, some of them are not going to be here 5 years from now. And so, like you said, there's going to be more consolidation and more changes, and we're going to be looking at a very different landscape in 5 years.
Well, guys, appreciate you jumping on for our wild card show. Hopefully we tackled a few things you've been thinking about. I'd love to hear your guys' opinions. If you disagree with Pete and agree with me every time because I'm always right,
because that's crazy,
please message us. I'd love to hear your feedback.
I'm sure you will.
questions at kpeliteaz.com. We'd love to hear your feedback. Reach out to us. And if you have an idea for any future show, we'd love to hear it. Follow us on all our channels, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, at The KP Elite. We'll see you guys next time.
See you guys.